السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما يفعل الله بعذابكم إن شكرتم وآمنتم، صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers and all our sisters, our brothers listening over Radio Al Ansar. It is a medium of conveying the message of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So for this occasion here, since there will be a large number of our sisters also listening, and what is essential and necessary that the speaker must speak on things which will be of benefit to people. Instead of giving very high-sounding philosophical speeches, something that is practical and easy for everyone, to present Islam in a manner that is beautiful, and to make it appear as if it is within the means of each and every person to make amal, that it is not beyond our reach, that Islam is not exclusive for the awliya siddiqeen, that you have to be very, very pious and born an angel to be able to practice on Islam. It must not appear like that. So a prescription which I mentioned in one of my Jummah bayans, I don't recall whether in this masjid or some other masjid, a very simple and an easy prescription. And on this day of Eid, if we can take this prescription, each and every one of us, then at least we will get on the road. We will get on the road that takes to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And this prescription is not something that is very difficult or beyond a person's reach, or it is very costly. It's not like the prescriptions given by some of our specialists, which is beyond the capacity of the ordinary person to go and acquire from a chemist. This is a simple and easy prescription, because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is an Allah for the rich, Allah for the poor, Allah for the weak and Allah for the strong. He is Allah for all. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made things easy. We have made things difficult. The thing is, we have created such an environment in our homes, in our businesses, in our society, that now it is becoming difficult to practice. But it is not that Sharia was difficult. We are making things difficult. And then we say, now it's difficult to give up this sin. Now it's difficult to give up this sin. So who is the one that brought that sin into one's life? Who is the one that brought that sin into one's home? Who is the one that created that environment within the home where now it becomes difficult? So nevertheless, the time is limited, so I just want to give you very basic and simple things. And this is of one great wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that he mentioned four things. He said that if we have to make amal on four things, then inshallah we will get this connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, or it will put us on that road to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I will give you a little explanation of this prescription. That he said the first thing that a person should do, because the conditions will be either of adversity or prosperity. Whatever you look at, either it is going to give some sort of happiness to the person, or it is going to give some sort of sadness to the person. In every aspect of a person's life, you will find these two situations. That either the person is enjoying some kind of happiness, satisfaction, or he is suffering some kind of pain, some kind of difficulty, some kind of hardship. So in the first condition, where the person finds things that are working, things are working for him, according to his wish, he seems to be finding things, or it gives him some sort of satisfaction and happiness, then immediately he makes shukr of Allah Ta'ala. Now this is not a difficult thing. Now for example, the person gets up in the morning. Now when his eyes open, he looks at his wife, she is breathing, so he knows that she is alive. So in his heart he says, Alhamdulillah, my wife is still alive. Because how many wives went to sleep and never got up again? Or how many husbands went to sleep and they never got up again? So So if the wife sees the husband is breathing, and in fact not only breathing but is snoring loud and clear, so then she takes it for granted that no, he's living, because we haven't heard of dead people snoring. So now when the person sees that the child is breathing, the child is well, then the person walks around, looks at the windows, sees alhamdulillah that no burglar entered the room at night. How many people were fast asleep and their rooms were burgled? They use some kind of chemical or whatever it may be, that the person inhales that and he goes off to sleep, and they come right into your room and they take away everything, and the person does not even realize what is gone. So now when he looks around in his room, he finds that everything is okay. Nothing has been burgled. He takes a walk to the other rooms and he checks, everything is okay. Now all he has to do is say inside his heart, alhamdulillah. Oh Allah, all praise is due to you. You are the one who protected me at night from the burglars, and you are the one who protected me at night from any kind of disaster or any kind of problem coming upon me. Alhamdulillah, oh Allah, I'm so grateful to you. Say it from the bottom of the heart. Now how much did that cost? Now when the person after that makes wuzu, he sees that all his hands are moving okay, his feet, he was able to walk properly, he was able to see properly. So now he sees his eyes, his ears, his tongue, and everything is okay. So he makes alhamdulillah. There are so many ni'mats of Allah. After that, we say he's going to the masjid. Now when he went to the masjid for the Fajr Salat, he didn't get hijacked. So many people, they left for home and they got hijacked. But I explained this in one other majlis of mine and in some detail, that many brothers say that, oh Maulana, how can we go for Fajr Salat these days because we are getting hijacked? So I asked them this simple question, that do those hijackings only take place at Fajr time? Do the people only get hijacked at Fajr time? So we must take precautions, and if it is, of course, in an area where it is very scary and very frightening, or the family is going to be alone and very scared, then it is permissible to make it at home. But I am talking about those people who are just merely making it an excuse, that all their life when there was, it was not scary and there was no such thing as hijack and murders and killings as we find today, then too they were not going to Fajr Salat, so why make that an excuse? Nevertheless, so now this person goes to masjid, he finds everything okay, he doesn't get hijacked, he returns home. Now he's going for work. So when he's going for work, he reaches his office or his profession or wherever he's going comfortably. There was no traffic jam. He makes alhamdulillah. When he reaches there safely, he makes alhamdulillah. When he gets into his office, he sees everything is okay there, the computers are not gone, then he says alhamdulillah. Otherwise even the computers are going and the chairs are going too. So the person makes alhamdulillah. In other words, there are so many ni'mats. You see the child smiling, you say alhamdulillah. You see the child playing, you say ya Allah. There are so many children who are unable to play. They are unable to smile. They are unable to move. Ya Allah, how great is this ni'mat of yours that you gave me children who are jumping about and running about and smiling. So the person is making alhamdulillah, shukar alhamdulillah, shukar alhamdulillah. So what is happening is that by shukar in abundance, now when he's having his meal, he finds that that meal that he had, it didn't cause him heart attack, it didn't give him blood pressure, it didn't give him sugar, diabetes, nothing. It gave him health and strength in his body. Now again he's making plenty of shukar on that. How many people after just having one meal and that was the end of the day? Because they could have eaten the wrong thing. So there are so many things, I can go on and on, that there are so many little things. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you have to count the ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, you will never ever be able to count it. Now at this very moment you are looking at me, I am looking at you, I am speaking, you are listening. Which means that my sight is good, your sight is good, your hearing is good. Now all these things are ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Or you are able to sit down and listen. How many people are unable to sit down? How many people are not even able to sit on the chair? They have to stand. Some people cannot even sit, they have to stand. And some people cannot even stand, they have to lie down. And some people lying down also, they are not comfortable. They have to be turned around all the time. So look at the ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The person gets half a loaf of bread to make shukar. Because there are so many people who do not even have half a loaf of bread. The person gets three meals, he makes shukar. He gets two meals, he makes shukar. He gets one meal too, he makes shukar. If he is deaf, he makes shukar. If he is deaf and dumb, he makes shukar. Because there are other people who are deaf, dumb and blind. And if they are deaf, dumb and blind, then too he makes shukar, because there are some people who are even paralyzed together with that. So there are so many ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the first part of this prescription is plenty of shukr. And shukr, all it requires is from the depth of the heart, the person recognizes his creator and these ni'mats of his creator and he says, Alhamdulillah. That Alhamdulillah must be from the depth of the hearts. So what is happening is that he's building up a connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And it hasn't cost him 1 cent. It hasn't cost him 1 cent. So even for the very miserly, it is a very good prescription. I think I told you about that. One person said that to save electricity, 3 misers were talking. So they said, to save electricity, what should we do? So the one said, well, I've taken out 1 blade of the fan. I use just 2 blades of the fan. So the other person said, no, but that still costs. So I took out 2 blades, I've only got 1. From the 3 I've taken off 2, I've only got 1. So the third one said, no, that it still costs money because you that even that 1 blade has to run. He said, I've told my family that that fan is there with the 3 blades just to show the people that we also have a fan. But if you feel hot, you must go and sit under the fan and shake yourself. So then you'll save electricity. So there are so many ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, unlimited ni'mats. And over every ni'mat the person says, Alhamdulillah. The gist of the entire Quran Sharif is in Surah Fatiha. And the gist of Surah Fatiha is in Alhamdu, the first word Alhamdu. All other ibadat will cease in Jannat, terminate. But one ibadat that will continue even in Jannat is that the people will make Alhamdulillah constantly. There will be no effort required to make Alhamdulillah. Just as here when we breathe in and we breathe out, a person doesn't have to concentrate on it. He doesn't have to make an effort to concentrate. That breathing will take place. Automatically we are inhaling in and out. In the same way in Jannat, this Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah will just continue. So it is a great ni'mat. Now this first part only, if we have to expand, it is a subject on its own. But for my sisters who are listening and my brothers who are listening here, the second thing is that the person will find conditions of adversity, conditions of difficulty, conditions that are not suitable to him or not pleasing to him. In other words, there will be some difficulties, some kind of trial, some kind of test, some kind of calamity or disaster in his life. So now on such kind of things, the person makes plenty of sabr. Now again, sabr doesn't not mean that the person will not adopt the means to solve the problem. This is a wrong understanding of sabr. That if a person is suffering any kind of problem, so now he must tie up his hands and go to sleep. It does not mean that he's not going to go to the doctor if he is sick. He will go there, he'll take medication. Dua aur dawa mein asar hai zarur, marizo ki shifa lekin daste khuda mein hai. That there is definitely some effect in dua also and some effect in dawa also. But the cure for the patient is in the hands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So if there are difficult conditions coming upon the person, and it is not because of his own stupidity and negligence, it is something that is beyond his control. So now this person is making sabr over it. On those difficulties and on those trials he is making sabr. So when he is going to make sabr, then إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah Ta'ala is with those who make sabr. And when he's going to make shukr, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you are going to make shukr, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will definitely give you an increase. And if you are going to make sabr, then Allah Ta'ala's ma'iyyat will be with you. He will be with you. Allah Ta'ala will be watching you. It's a test from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, so he will give you that patience to get out of that. And there are reasons for that, and there's wisdom of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that why does he bring about certain conditions of difficulty upon a person. But that is again, as I say, a subject on its own. So now this person is making sabr, sabr. On any difficulty, anything that is not to his liking, then he makes sabr. He was eating food, it was not to his liking, so now he does not lose his temper. Or like one wife says, that the moment the food is not to the taste of my husband, he takes a plate and he throws the food. Now when a person is going to throw food, you expect any kind of barakat to come in that home, then you will see a day in that person's life that Allah Ta'ala will take away even that. Now he is making nakhra and he is showing his strength and over just a little distaste or something that is not to his taste. But then after that, when Allah will pull the carpet from beneath his feet for making such kind of israf or abusing the food in that manner, or showing no appreciation for this great gift of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala will take that away too. And we have seen this in many, many places. many, many places. Look at the lives of many people. When wastage came into their lives, how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala after some time deprived the progeny and deprived them of whatever they had. He snatched away those ni'mats. And this is one area of concern, that there's too much of wastage in our lives. Nevertheless, so now this person, when he's getting some difficulty in his life, he's making sabr, sabr, sabr. Now there will be different occasions for that. Again, now here we will say, for example, the person is traveling. Now he wants to get to the airport. And his plane is leaving at a certain time. Now when he's going, suddenly he gets caught up in the traffic. Now that was beyond his control. He was not expecting that there was going to be a truck that had an accident, and as a result now there's a traffic pileup. Now he's getting restless and he's swearing and he's cursing and all that. Instead of that, now if this person makes sabr, and he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So he's going to not only get reward, but this person will also get Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's closeness and ma'iyat. Inna allaha ma'as sabirin. Because he's not going to be able to put suddenly some wings there and press some button and fly over the other cars. He will have to wait. So here now this person is making sabr. Instead of now making a big din and a fuss and swearing and cursing who met with an accident in front there, if he engages himself in some subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, and he makes sabr over it. One person, one alim, one arif billah, the person who recognizes Allah Ta'ala, we call him arif billah. So now he was stranded at the Jeddah airport. Now Jeddah airport, the person had to stay there for 3 days. They could not get a flight out. The bookings, there was overbooked flights, and as a result now for 3 days they had to sit at the airport. Now it's not an easy thing to sit at the airport. Now when somebody told him, Hazrat, aapko to bahut pareshani hui hogi. He said, koi pareshani nahi. No pareshani at all. I am making shukar of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that I am so close to Makkah Mukarrama from Jeddah. I am getting the breeze of Makkah Sharif just 40-50 miles away coming to Jeddah. And from this side I am getting the breeze of Medina Sharif coming just a few hundred miles away. So I am between Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif, and I am comfortable at the airport. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Now he starts saying Alhamdulillah. What would we have done? One Allah wala was given the medication, which when you take, I don't know what they call it, diuretic or something like that, where the person, he has to pass a lot of water, he has to keep going to the toilet to urinate. So this Allah wala, because of his heart condition or lung condition, whatever it was, so he was given this tablet. And on that particular night, he had to go about 10-12 times up and down, up and down. So as a result, he didn't get no sleep for the whole night. So somebody asked him, one of his khadim asked him, Hazrat, raat ko to bahut takleef hui aapko. He said, Alhamdulillah, Allah ka shukar hai. Baitul Khala mein main sunnat ke mutabik dakhil hua. Allah shukar that I got the tawfiq of reading the sunnat dua, masnoon dua before entering the toilet. And when I left the toilet again, I read the dua. So 10 times I got the tawfiq of reading that sunnat dua. Now which person can have? Now can that person be suffering any kind of restlessness in his heart? Yes, there can be pain. But what I always say that these people don't have that restlessness that we have. Because we don't have the taluk with Allah Ta'ala. Wallah, if we get that taluk with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and that connection with Allah Ta'ala, then conditions of the outside will not affect the tranquility, the serenity of our inside. Because Allah Ta'ala will be with us. The person will feel Allah Ta'ala with him. So now in a state of adversity, in states of or conditions that are not suitable, the person is making plenty of sabr. Then the third thing. Now again on sabr there's so much, but let's go to the third thing because we might not get an opportunity to convey the four ingredients of this prescription to those who are listening on Radio Al-Ansar. So now the third thing is this, that the person makes plenty of istighfar. Now we know that our weakness is that we make tawbah, we break tawbah. No matter how much sincere tawbah do we make, but when we go outside and again that pretty face comes, then that person forgets that he made tawbah just a little while ago. Or that person has got some other weakness and he just can't seem to get out of that weakness. He makes tawbah and it is his heartfelt desire to give it up to, but he still gets caught up. So now this person is told that you must make plenty of istighfar and don't wait even for the next step. That say that accidental glance that fell, now this person raised it up for the second time. And this time he began to stare and cast lustful glance. So now the moment he realizes that this is what I have done and it is haram, so he immediately there and then start making istighfar. Now that istighfar does not mean that he has to first go and make wuzu and then he must make 2 rakat namaz and then he must stand at that same spot in the pavement and make istighfar. It means that the depth of his heart He says, "Oh Allah, how napak I am. How ungrateful I am. How namak haram I am." He curses his own nafs. And he says, "How namak haram I am. That Ya Allah, if you snatched away this sight, would I have been able to see this haram? You gave me such a great ni'mat, the sight, and I used it for haram." Or the person was in his home and he switched on the television and he saw some filth there. Now immediately he makes plenty of tawbah, plenty of tawbah. Mera har khata pe rona, mera har khata pe rona, yehi hai meri talafi. Mera har khata pe rona, yehi hai meri talafi. Teri rahmaton ka sadqa, mera jurm afw karna. Oh Allah, what else can I do? After I have committed sins, Ya Allah, what else do I have except these tears of shame? Ya Allah, I am pouring out my tears of regret and remorse and shame. Oh my beloved Allah, I have sinned, I have transgressed, I have done injustice to my own soul. Oh my Allah, I am ashamed, I am not bragging about my sin. Forgive me now. So now this person, if he's going to do this for every sin of his, if he's going to repeatedly do that, then Allah Ta'ala will definitely give this person the tawfiq of getting out of the sins altogether. If the person has stolen, for example, somebody's property, so now as soon as he makes istighfar, he goes and tries to return that property. I think I read to you a letter the other day where a person says that he received a letter with which was enclosed 2,000 rand, and the person states there that I had stolen this money from you. You were not even aware of it, but I am returning it now, and to the best of my knowledge, I don't owe you more than 2,000 rand. But if it is more, then it's hadiyah for you, and if it's less, then please forgive me. Another person, over a period of time, and is a manager in a very, very big and a prominent business house, and he had stolen about 300,000 rands. And this person, he returned that money by selling one house of his, because he was in a managerial position, he was owning some properties also. So he sold that house and he made sure that small amounts of 10,000, 50,000, 20,000, like that, he put it into the account of that company and he cleaned his slate out. And he wrote a letter to that person anonymously that, "Please forgive me." Now what I'm saying, this is tawbah. That the person makes an effort after that to go in that direction. So plenty of istighfar and plenty of tawbah. Today is Eid day and this is the last of the Jummahs. After Ramadan, it's the first Jummah when we will be taking 5 minutes more, so feel comfortable. So this is the third thing, that the person makes plenty of istighfar. Kabhi ta'ato ka surur hai, kabhi aitiraf e qusur hai, hai malak ko jiski nahi khabar, wo huzur mera huzur hai. That this person, when he makes sincere tawbah, when tears of nadamat and shame and regret roll down his cheeks, then he says, even the angels don't know where this person reaches. He may be sitting on the arsh, on the farsh, on the floor here, but he is already on the arsh. Allah Ta'ala loves this tear so dearly. So the person makes plenty of istighfar. Rasul-e-Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who was sinless, who was masoom, who was the greatest after Allah Ta'ala, he says, 100 times a day I make istighfar. Now his istighfar was not over sins. His istighfar was looking at the azmat of Allah Ta'ala and that stages. So it was an increase in his stages. So if a person has made istighfar and is forgiven for his sins, then when he's going to make istighfar and tawbah again, it will now be an elevation of those stages. So he increases his istighfar, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Man lazim al istighfar," the person who makes it lazim upon himself to make istighfar, meaning he makes istighfar in abundance, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will definitely find a way out for him in his difficulties and problems, and Allah will provide for him risk and sustenance from sources unknown to him. This is exactly the same reward that Allah ta'ala promises to those people who have got taqwa. So if we cannot get that stage of taqwa, then at least we can make istighfar in abundance. Forgo the breakfast for that day, forgo the lunch for that day, and say, "Oh Allah, I'm not going to eat. First I'm going to make tawbah and istighfar over the sins." Now if a person is going to make that much istighfar, you think he's going to remain in that sin all his life? So either he's going to make sabr, he's going to make shukr, or he's going to make istighfar. And the fourth thing is that there's lots of fears that a person has. He fears what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen to my children 10 years later, what's going to happen to my home, what's going to happen to this and what's going to happen to that, and if I'm traveling, what if this happens and what if that happens. There's always anxieties and fears. So for all those things, the person makes istiaza, meaning, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. That the moment some kind of fear comes, the person says, oh Allah, I seek protection in you. Whatever that fear may be, the person keeps on seeking protection in Allah. Look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's du'as. How many du'as of istiaza there? That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is seeking protection in Allah from this, from that, in so many things. Every little ache and pain to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is asking Allah ta'ala for protection. From the mischief of the eyes, from the mischief of the ears, from the mischief of the tongue, from the mischief of the private parts. Even that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us to make istiaza, that must ask Allah ta'ala for protection. Now he was not going to fall in any kind of those sins. But for us, he taught us a lesson that look, if you are going to do this, ask Allah ta'ala for protection. Keep on asking Allah for protection from any kind of sin, from any kind of harm, from any kind of problem or difficulty. Then whatever is going to happen will happen. But at least this person will find some kind of consolation, he'll find some kind of strength that I've asked Allah ta'ala for protection. Now he'll make use of the means which are required for such protection in this world, and then he will trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala will give him sukoon in his heart. So for every little thing now he's going to make isti'aza, he's going to ask Allah ta'ala for protection. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Now what difficulty is in the application of this prescription? What amount of money has it cost? And how much of time did it take? Did it affect any person's business house? Did it affect any person's life? Nothing. And in the meantime, what did he get in return? He is getting the ma'iyat of Allah, the closeness of Allah, the muhabbat of Allah. He is getting the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. He is getting an increase in the ni'mats. He is getting a protection of his ni'mats. So by means of sabr and shukr, by means of istighfar, the person's past has been taken care of. That he's made plenty of istighfar, so the past sins are forgiven, that has been taken care of. And he's repeatedly making istighfar, so he's getting forgiveness all the time. So the past is taken care of by the istighfar. The future, the present is being taken care of by sabr and shukr. Because the present condition will be either way he has to make sabr or he has to make shukr. And the future is being taken care of by isti'aza, asking Allah Ta'ala for protection from all those fears that he has. Now on this day of Eid, this Mubarak day of Eid, these ni'mats that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with, and the day itself is a great ni'mat which Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. So now we must make plenty of shukr. And the shukr of every ni'mat is in accordance with that ni'mat. The shukr of the eyes is that we should not go and see any haram. The shukr of the ears, we should not listen to haram. The shukr of the tongue is we should not speak haram. The shukr of the hands are that we shouldn't touch haram. And the shukr of the feet, we shouldn't walk towards haram. And the shukr of the mind and intelligence is that we should not use it for planning and scheming all haram. Now when the person is going to go about it this day, in this way, wallah, believe me, within a short period of time, the most sinful person can also change his lifestyle, he can change the direction, and he can become a wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you, and all those who are listening over the radio station, Allah ta'ala give them the tawfiq to implement these four simple things in the life, which doesn't require time and effort, but it gives great benefits. May Allah Ta'ala make the rest of the day also a very pleasant and a happy one. May Allah remove the difficulties, the problems, the trials that the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is going throughout the world.